This is a replay of the Wednesday night, March 20th WGN show. We started at about 11:30. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, and unless sports preempt us, that's from 10 to 1 Central Time. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have a couple hours to spend together. Yes, on the Better Late Than Never Network. Basketball is always a little unpredictable, but we're not, so you can join us for the next 2 hours or so at 888-876-5593. That's 888-ROLLYE. And we'll start it off with some good news. Yes, Bruce sent me an email, and Adam, that's right, engineer extraordinaire, sent me an email because he apparently lived close to the Gemini Giant, don't you know? Well, the good news is the Gemini Giant will be saved. In fact, is saved. I saw a picture earlier and was frightened for a moment because he was horizontal, but he was just being carried off in preparation for his new perch, which will still be on Route 66. Finally, a good use for your tax dollars. The city of Wilmington now has the statute, and the deal with the statue is, I believe it was the Joliet Area Historical Museum that placed the winning bid. And the Gemini Giant, which probably cost a couple of grand originally, brought in about $275,000. But hey, what's money? Wilmington is very pleased about this, and so I figured we should spend time talking about not only the Gemini Giant, but all the muffler men of days gone by, which actually they didn't start as muffler men. They're affectionately referred to as such, but that wasn't the start. We'll also have a little primer on how to recognize the muffler man, because they're in various garb now. And we'll go over where they are in America, because many are still standing in a variety of places. And I'd say probably most states, more states than not, boast several. And we'll go over that as well. Now, of course, we'll interrupt that to talk about whatever's on your mind. Absolutely. So 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh. And according to Bruce and others, the Gemini Giant was not the only astronaut-themed muffler man. And I could find one, but only one so far as I looked through the list, other than the Gemini Giant. And but they're in every possible configuration now. And as I say, they have some absolute consistencies. So we'll tell you how to recognize one when you see one, just in case you were wondering. And maybe we'll talk a little about Route 66 in general as well. But yes, a little celebration since the Gemini Giant will remain. He'll be moved a little, but he'll still be right on Route 66. All that and more is coming up this hour on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and we've got about an hour and a half to spend together, and I thought the theme from Route 66, Nelson Riddle, 1962, would be perfect, since, of course, we are talking about muffler men. And one in particular, actually, you know, there are hundreds of these still standing, and you'll be pleased to know that the Gemini Giant is among the top 10 favorites. Yeah, and actually Chicken Boy is as well, so Illinois should be proud. Now, with that in mind, we thank Adam for telling us, and we thank Bruce and Elwood for telling us, and that was wonderful news this morning. Bruce, thanks.
Yeah, hi, Raleigh, how you doing?
All right, how about yourself?
Yeah, it was pretty exciting. Everybody's pretty happy down here.
I'll bet. Well, it really was a community effort. Now, you know, I was reading about the history, and I found this fascinating that the giant showed up, obviously not as the giant, but showed up as a fiberglass figurine in 1965. And the owners of the at the time, there were a local couple, John and Bernice. They bought them for $3,500 at the National Restaurant Association convention. Now, at the time, yeah, he just was a simple giant in a green jumpsuit. Do you have any idea where the giant was previously? Where was it located before John and Bernice got their hands on it?
There was actually three giants made that were the spacemen. One on the West Coast, one on the East Coast, and the Gemini Giant did come as a spaceman.
Well, not originally, according to what I've read.
Yeah, no. Well, I've lived near the giant for 40 years. So
well, apparently.
There's a lot of history in him.
Yeah, and supposedly they bought him, like I say, for $3,500 from the National Restaurant Association, and that's when they were looking for a theme because of the Launchpad restaurant. The only other one I know was Buck Adam, the space cowboy in Tulsa.
Well, I don't know about that one, but there were three giants. He actually came as a spaceman. They found him at that restaurant thing as a spaceman. They brought him here. They renamed their restaurant to the Launching Pad when they got the spaceman.
All right.
And then they had a contest with the school.
To name him.
And the young girl from the school
named him
the Gemini Giant.
Yeah.
But there was only three of those helmets made at the factory where the giants were made.
Well, the giants were all...
Two of the helmets are gone.
Really? Okay.
And that's the only helmet that's left.
The giants were all made in California, and that was an interesting story, too. And I find it fascinating that the name stuck, the muffler men, but the reality is they didn't start as muffler men. They started out, the first one was for a restaurant, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it was a boat builder. And he purchased a workshop, a fiberglass workshop, and a Pruitt plexiglass, actually. And the oversized figurines, by the way, dinosaurs were big with him, too. But the very first one was actually created by Bob Pruitt, and it was a Paul Bunyan statue holding an oversized axe to promote a restaurant at the Lumberjack Cafe on Route 66 in Flagstaff. Now, what I found interesting about this is, and you know, you know your giant very well, but his hands are still in the exact position that Paul Bunyan was. All of them apparently have one hand raised and the other one down. You know, it was perfect for the axe, and it was okay for mufflers as well. But as I read that little tidbit, I looked online. I said, "My God, they are all. The one hand is up, the other hand is down." So that's one of the ways.
Every one of them has their hands like that, and they modify whatever they're going to hold.
Right.
Like there's one in Southern Illinois that's holding a hot dog.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Yes, that's in
Cicero. Joliet for the baseball team that was holding a jackhammer.
Right, they hold everything. But, yeah, the one in Cicero at Bunyan's, I don't know if that one's still there or not. But
there was two heads made. One head is clean-shaven, and the Paul Bunyan, the originals, had a beard.
Right, they did. You're absolutely right. But either way,
the Gemini Giant is clean-shaven. And then the feet, if you notice the giant, he just has shoes where the Paul Bunyans had boots.
Yes, they did. They absolutely had boots. You're right.
And they're very thin. I never really knew how it was braced until they lifted it out today. I was down there yesterday to get a last picture with the giant.
Yeah.
And all his feet are cracked and everything. He's really thin, so I'm pretty sure he's being taken out to be refurbished
now.
Oh, I'm
sure.
in Atlanta, Illinois, which is we're about 150 miles from us.
Yeah.
Now, see that trailer he was on? That's a special trailer built just for the Giants.
Right. That guy, apparently, that mover specializes in Giants.
Yeah, he's from down in central Illinois. They had him ready because they wanted him out. There's real bad blood going on.
Oh, I can tell, sadly, that owner who was trashing the place and all that. Mm-hmm. It's a sad history. But yeah.
She was my best friend at one time a
really?
Few years ago. And now,
really?
Now she just flips me off when she sees me. So.
Oh, that's a shame. Did her attitude change because the business was failing?
Part of it in COVID. She has long-term COVID.
Okay.
And, the business. And it was two widows got together and bought a business, and they were trying to mold two families and grow a business at the same time, and it just turned really bad.
Yeah, I know when they bought it, there was such, a lot of press and all that and a lot of good hope for what it would be.
I belong to the widows group that was there. We met every Wednesday night down there at the launching pad and that. But two real quick things. There's one giant in southern Illinois, central Illinois.
Uh-huh.
He's got the Gemini body with the hands.
Yeah.
But he has Alfred E. Newman's head.
Really?
Yeah, from Mad Magazine.
Yeah, What Me Worry, of course.
Uh-huh.
So now that's interesting. So there's so many in Illinois other than Wilmington. They have the hot dog, which you mentioned, in Atlanta, and Lauterbach in Springfield, and Spartan at Southeast High in Springfield. Big Fat at Evergreen Park. Blind Without Glasses in Chicago on Pulaski. Paul Bunyan in Libertyville. And a couple of muffler men at the Pink Elephant Antique Mall in Livingston, and then Stogie Man at Cigars and Stripes in Berwyn. But you know of another one?
Well, the place in Atlanta, they're opening a place in May.
Uh-huh.
And down there, they take parts. The actual molds still exist for everything but the helmet. The helmet molds were used for a fox house years ago, and that was destroyed. So there can be no more of those helmets made. That's the only one.
Oh, that's interesting.
But in Atlanta, Illinois, there's a place opening up that's going to be the Muffler Man Museum.
Oh, I love it. I just love it.
And they're restoring some of them right now. They're supposed to put two or three up for the opening in May. But they're real close to the people who moved the people that moved the Muffler Man today is right near Atlanta. And I'm hoping, I would think that at least they're going to look at this giant before they put him back up, because he stood for 60 years and never been off that pedestal.
Right. No, they'll have to. Now, obviously, International Fiberglass, the Venice, California location, who did most of the Muffler Men, they're closed. But what I found, and you might know about this, is the Fiberglass Animal Capital of America in Rice Lake, Wisconsin.
No, I haven't heard of that.
Man, there are. It's actually in Sparta, and the location itself, Sparta, which has about 5,000 people, and apparently they are basically the fiberglass animal graveyard in some ways. But they love Muffler Men, and I bet you that if the Muffler Man needed some fiberglass retrofitting, that this place could probably do it.
Well, they're finding Muffler Men. They just found one the other day that they had tracked down that had been laying in a field for like decades.
Yeah. Sure.
And they're taking them out and restoring them. They're trying to get. Apparently, you could buy a new one.
Well, yeah, but it's like
pretty close.
For $15,000.
Yeah, but this one just sold for $2,250.
Oh, I know. Well, that's because of the history, obviously. You know, they paid $3,500 for it, and probably the original owner probably paid about $1,200. But, so $275, man. Well, like I say, good use of our tax dollars.
Came from a grant.
It's appropriate. No, it's absolutely appropriate. But
it was a state grant for improvements on Route 66. That's what it was for. So
apparently, in Arkansas, there's a Muffler Mr. Spock. He's not an astronaut, but he does depict Spock from Star Trek, except bigger than life, to say the least. There are literally hundreds of these, and what I find interesting is how it stuck Muffler Men, because their primary use wasn't for muffler stores.
No, but. I guess that was the most famous for a certain period of time. That's where everybody had. They were out in front of gas stations and muffler shops.
And this guy in California did well with his fiberglass because, of course, remember Sinclair, drive everywhere, drive with care, drive Sinclair. Well, they had big Dino. Well, Dino was fiberglass, and he was in front of a bunch of Sinclair stations. So
there's one of him just about a half a block from where the Giant is.
Yeah. So there you go.
Dino on an old Sinclair station.
Perfect. Perfect. Probably the exact same people put them together. But I don't know. I assume when this California location closed, they had the mold, the original mold, and that's why the hands are never different and all that. I would hope that the mold either went to the people in Sparta or somewhere, because it'd be nice for the mold to stick around.
I think the molds are out there. I'm not sure where they're at, but I think I did read somewhere. There's been all so much information out in the last, it's been 2 weeks since this started with the auction thing and everything. Yeah. And that's when, he sat there for so long. I've been going by him my whole life. I'm 70 years old, and I remember going by him when I was a kid.
Right, before you could drive, of course.
Yeah, yeah. And he was kind of taken for granted, and he kind of got saved with the restaurant. The restaurant was in disrepair, and then... Yeah. One of the big things that hurt, the restaurant was really nice, but COVID came along.
Didn't that hurt everybody when you get right down to it?
Just about the time they got it going, they restored it all. It had been left for 7 years. The guy never even took the grease out of the fryers. He just walked out.
Right, and you can tell that at one point they restored it with care. And
they worked their butts off on it.
And what a shame.
They just got it going. It was going really starting to go well. They were... A lot of people going in there, and then COVID hit, and they had to close it, and it just never recovered.
That's a real shame. Well, now it'll be interesting to see what happens to that location. It will no longer have a Giant, of course, which is just fine because the Giant has found a permanent location.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting.
He's going to the park.
Yeah, he is going to the park. And the park, thank God, is on Route 66.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's about a mile away.
Yeah, because, I'm glad he's going to a park, but I would have been heartsick if he wasn't still on 66.
Yeah, no, it's right on 66.
Yeah, so that's absolutely...
I drive 66 every day.
Yeah, right.
I could sit on my deck and look out and see 66.
Yeah, unfortunately, most of the time when you're looking, it's I-55.
Yeah, that's on the other side of me, but part of where I'm at, it's 5366 by the... Yeah. It's an old arsenal, is there, the Joliet Arsenal.
Yeah.
And you can tell if you drive the one side of it, the road goes up and down and follows the hills.
Yes.
And that's the original 1926 Route 66.
Right, which in a couple of years will have its centennial, and I think people already are planning for that. And there are several neat things, like in Grants, New Mexico, they've got a real neat landmark for it. And I always would get off I-40 just to, just to drive. It was usually 66 business after a while, but to drive it, because somehow, I-40, I-15, I-10, that just doesn't make it. Route 66 is the thing. Yeah.
Well, I'm not too far from where Route 66 and the Lincoln Highway cross in Joliet, right by that historical society.
Yes. Yes.
That's kind of an interesting intersection. You can go, historically, you could go either way across the country from there and be on a historic old road.
Yeah. No, that's great. Well, I think the last piece of Route 66 that was used as Route 66 was actually the 80s, and it was Williams, Arizona. And I remember I was so sad when, I-40 eclipsed Williams. So good that you're keeping it alive. You know, after Williams managed to lose 66, the United States Highway System officially removed Route 66 from the route system. Which is really sad.
Yeah.
Really sad. Well, thank you.
All the signs by us just call it this, historic Route 66.
Absolutely. But, well, thank you for...
You get south of me, and there's still parts of the old road left you can actually go walk on. You can't drive on but you can walk on them.
Right, There are specks of that throughout, whether it's on, 55 or 40 or... Well, there's a few other interstates that it hits as well. And, absolutely. Well, thank you for telling me about it. It's wonderful news.
Okay, thanks, Raleigh.
All right, good deal, thanks. All right, so we'll pick it up there. And a big thanks to Adam, too, who got me the link from the Joliet paper. So all appreciated. We'll continue with Eduardo and hopefully you, too, on WGN Radio.
G-Way. Look at his eyes.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. It's Rufus's teenage daughter, Carla Thomas, 1960 on satellite before there was a Stax. And that's for Russ and Des Plaines, and we'll get back to you after the news right here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Blue Mink, yeah, with Madeline Bell. Can You Feel It, Baby, 1970 on Phillips, and Russ and Des Plaines wanted to hear that one, too, so hopefully he was around to do that. If not, hopefully you enjoyed it. So we are talking about fiberglass and more. That's right. We'll get to all the Gemini, actually, there's only one Gemini giant, but all the muffler men and some of what's around today, because there are still a number of them standing. And in many cases, almost as loved. I say almost because I'm sure that what went on in Wilmington, Illinois was nothing short of a frenzy when it looked like, oh, my God, we could lose the Gemini man. Oh, no. Eduardo in Tampa, welcome back to WGN Radio. Let me make this official now. So how's it going, Eduardo?
Yeah, Raleigh, it's good to hear you. Well, it's one of your longest shows of the week because of the basketball
Right. Yes, this one is about 2.5 times as long as the others. Yes.
Yeah, that's why I waited till today to call instead of the other days. But I got a couple stories I think that were interesting. They came in CBS Morning Show or Saturday. Mm-hmm. Hoboken, New Jersey Library has items for rent. Kitchen equipment, tools, yard games, electronics, science items. I don't know if there's other libraries like that, but I thought that was pretty interesting. You can go in there and just rent whatever you want to.
Yeah, the library of things. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I kind of wish the animal shelters would do that so I could rent a dog for the weekend.
There you go.
Yeah. Occasionally, I've heard of some that did, but and some will say, well, it's unfair to the animal. Well, probably not, actually, because I'm sure that I'd be able to spend a weekend showing it a very good time. So nonetheless, Hoboken is the library of things as far as that. All you have to do is have a library card. And you can take out any item of choice as long as it's on the shelf. So, of course, this limits the size. You're not going to get a dishwasher. So as far as that goes. But a number of things that are interesting. So, I'm going to be curious because you know how many people have returned a book late. I wonder how long it takes the things to get back to the library.
Right, if they're going to be in their original condition.
Yeah, well, there is that too. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of libraries, and this kind of started, as far as I know, in the pandemic and COVID and all that, where they were making computers or peripherals available to people. Like wireless access points for areas that were offering free Wi-Fi and stuff like that. So I have seen some success of that, but this is apparently everything. So no matter what it is you're looking for, a 3D printer, are they kidding me? Maybe I'd like to see that. So.
Yeah, maybe we can get one of these over there in your area over there.
I don't know.
This other one I got out here, this is a third grader in Chelsea, Maine Elementary School. He's 8 years old. So he gets everybody to dress up every Wednesday, Dapper Wednesday, in a suit and tie. Pretty neat. Yeah, his name is James Rambage.
Huh, Dapper Wednesday.
Pretty cool.
All right, I guess that's the opposite of Casual Friday. All right.
Right. So, well, I think it's a good trend because, you know, nowadays people are not, obviously, since they're working from home, you know.
Yeah.
They're just coming out almost like in their pajamas or slippers like that, but it's a dress down. But this is pretty neat.
It'll be
somebody young like that to get everybody dressed up at least one of the days of the week.
Yeah. Well, what's interesting, the first thing I thought when I had heard about this was, oh, my God, because for some kids, you know, they can't dress up, not in a suit and tie and all that, because they might not even have that. And apparently that was considered. So they wound up, you know, getting ties and all that, gave them out if needed and other type of things so that the kids who didn't have all this stuff would still feel included. And that's nice.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. Yeah, good for them. I mean, I think when they get older, I think it'll be good for them.
Yeah. I'll be very curious.
Catch on.
If I'm still alive, I'll be very curious to see what this kid is as an adult, because it's a pretty interesting thing to think about in the second grade. So good deal.
Yeah, maybe you can do like talking tours around the. You know, whatever you become good in, I think it'd be a good idea to do like a nationwide tour, whatever your idea you're pretty passionate about, to go and do a national thing of talking.
Absolutely.
About that.
James Ramage, third grader. That's a name to remember.
Right.
All right.
All right, let me get off because you got a short time here. But I'll be at the Dallas Expo this weekend, so I'll let you know next week.
Oh, good. Where are you staying?
It's near Love Field.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that's nice.
Yeah. Yeah, I rented a car, and it'll be nice to get to go to the tables, get souvenirs, pamphlets.
Sure.
Peter Greenberg, who goes on this station, he'll be there.
Good.
Pauline Fremmer, I think. Yeah, so it'll be nice.
Good. Well, I can't wait to hear the report.
Yep. Okay.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Have a good weekend. Okay.
All right, you too. When I was in Dallas, people would come to town, and it would be, oh, we got to go down to Dealey. You know, we got to reenact the Kennedys. I swear to God. I said, well, yeah, not as easy as you think. But nonetheless, although I often said, if you're from Dallas, you'll relate to this, no doubt, that they really didn't have to kill the president. They could have just let him get onto the Stemmons, because you enter in the fast lane right there at that exit. I'm not sure what your chances are on any given day. And I don't think they've ever changed that entrance either. So 888-876-5593 is 8888. Raleigh, we'll get to James on the south side. But let's go over some of the muffler men, because as I say, there are literally hundreds. And we went over the Illinois list when we were talking with Bruce. But they're everywhere. And like I say, they started out not as mufflers, but they started out in front of a restaurant, Paul Bunyan, as it were, with an axe. And then some enterprising car repair shop realized, my God, that could be a muffler. And now it could be virtually anything. And some of them are custom made, like Lee the Tow Man, who is for a towing and recovery service in Hot Springs, Arkansas. There's also Big John, who does towing and recovery. And I believe that is an original muffler man from St. George, Utah. And it was transported to Connecticut and then to Oklahoma, and then landed up in Hot Springs a couple of years ago. And like I was also mentioning, in Hot Springs, Muffler, Mr. Spock, is there as well from Star Trek, obviously. So a ton of them from California. And by the way, of course, all the big boys. And what's interesting about that is at the Sparta location that I was telling you about in Wisconsin, where the fiberglass animal capital of America, they still have the molds for big boys. So, you know, should you want one or whatever. But they've got several in all sorts of, as far as California, in all sorts of get-ups. Big Josh and Joshua Tree. Used to be Mecca Man at the Mini Mart in Mecca. We got Big Mike's, who, that was a muffler store. Babe Royer was a muffler store, too. But Chicken Boy in Highland Park, he always makes the list of the top 10 best muffler men. I don't know who votes. Many of them got them in Malibu, and they got them in El Monte. They got them everywhere. And Compton, King's Auto Repair, and Boyle Heights. Right, that's Sergio. Yeah, I've seen Sergio. And Kevin at Tune Up Masters in Van Nuys, and on and on. So you name it. And I'm looking to see what some of the most original uses are. And, you know, they've been virtually everything. And, of course, I'm not sure, but we might decide that the Gemini Giant is as unusual as it gets. It's hard to say. But they're in front of car repair, and they're in front of restaurants, and they're in front of trailer parks. They're big on trailer parks and lumber supply and more. Then there's the Chieftain Motel in North Dakota. But I don't know if you count this guy. And the reason I say that is he's got an upraised arm. Now, the muffler man itself, one palm should be up, the other one down. I mean, it's pretty specific. So I'm not 100% sure whether we can count the guy. There's another one like that. And I think the Native American had an arm stretched out at the Indian trading post in Calumet, Oklahoma. So I think that you need to, in fact, keep the theme as it is if you're going to be a purist about this, don't you know? So I don't know who's the biggest, because they did range in size to some degree as far as that goes. But I'd say what's left today, probably more eateries than anything else. And yes, they're astronauts, they're Vikings, they're you name it. So it's a lot of fun. But if you can get to Sparta, I'm sure you can check out the fiberglass animal graveyard of the world, really. And it's interesting. And they allow you to walk around the yard photographing the fiberglass, but you got to do that at your own risk, since it is outdoors, and the bees and wasps like it too. And there are sharp pieces on some of the items. So, but if you're willing to take your life into your own hand, you can actually see all of these. And so whether they're lumberjacks or Native Americans or cowboys, and I love this. They're totems of lost capitalistic dreams. Oh, man, on the loneliest of rural routes. In a way, that is true with what the fate of the launching pad restaurant went through in Wilmington. Yeah, yeah, a lost capitalist dreams. And the La Crosse Tribune reported the most popular figures available today, you know, and by the way, today, this article is a long time ago, so we're probably talking the 70s, but the most, you know, when somebody would say, hey, I need a fiberglass thing, was steers for steakhouses, pizza chefs, a 19-foot rainbow trout, bass, well, that's before Billy Bass, right? Fish, rabbits, and in one case, a Volkswagen. All right, well, why not? So apparently the interest is far and wide. They have an international reach there from Sparta, Wisconsin. They have clients in Kuwait. That was animal figures from a amusement park. Cows for the Soviet Union, pigs for Japan and the Netherlands, horses for Mexico. And the list is pretty much endless. I know dinosaurs are a favorite, not only because of the use with Sinclair stations, but just in general, roadside attractions of dinosaurs. I'm trying to think what that place was. It's now got an outlet mall near it on I-10 in the desert in California, but it definitely had dinosaurs. Yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't come from Sparta. So 888-876-5593. That's 8888-Raleigh. And if it's on your mind, I'll make sure it is on mine. And I think that I don't remember if I did or I didn't, so I will in case I didn't right now on WGN Radio. Or maybe I did. I don't know. So I'll leave it to Adam to figure out. I can't remember if I took that commercial break or I didn't. So we'll talk to James on the South Side. Hello, James.
How are you?
Well, obviously not well. Not together. At least I know where I am. That's about the most I can say. Now, how about you?
Well, I'm back feeling a little better.
Good. Excellent.
I'd admit, like, at least I feel a little better than some of the people in some of my stories. Okay, there was the person who was accused of having five heads who had a plastic surgery.
Well, you know, I saw that, but I got to tell you, because when I saw the headline, I thought, oh, man, this is going to look interesting. But she didn't look any different to me.
I know, and I'm like thinking, okay, and whoever this was who was accusing of having five heads, I'm like thinking, maybe they're drunk.
Well, I don't know, but I do know that supposedly, obviously, it was a woman with a very high forehead, and so she went ahead and had $11,000 of plastic surgery, which, by the way, for plastic surgery isn't a lot of money either. So I'm thinking to myself, all right, let me see the pictures, and then I look at it, and I'm like, there's no difference. So I don't know.
Yeah, and you kind of think, really? That's it?
Yeah, well, I guess that's it. But that's when I start to think that, yes, it's true, they've run out of stories.
Yeah, and okay. And, of course, there's unfortunately no end to people doing things that you just want to say. In a different era, they were just simply as an old cowboy sitting in that place commercial when he found out it was from the competitor was from New York City, in a row.
Yeah, we also had a few stories, sadly, about women in this case who were misdiagnosed. And it turned out the doctors pretty much said things like drink more water, and it turned out to be cervical cancer. And there were a few of those, actually, and it sort of underscored, if you are not feeling well and you go to the doctor and they dismiss it or they think it's nothing, don't necessarily just go home and say, well, I guess it's nothing. Pursue anything that really is bothering you, because those were very sad stories.
Yeah. And okay, of course, as we know, they're still practicing.
And then we have
and
a guy.
It is.
Yeah. The practice, it is. They are still practicing. Then we have a guy who strangled a dog owner to death, and the reason that we know who he is and what he did is because he came back to the scene of the crime to steal the Labradoodle.
I was like, when I saw that, I just said, it's come to this.
Well, I think, wait a minute, what I said before when I went to that commercial break that didn't happen, I think it was supposed to happen, so it'll happen now right here on WGN Radio.
Said that our love was forever. All those plans we made for tomorrow that looked so bright. Ah, and I understand all the reasons you gave me for leaving. But that doesn't sleeping alone each night.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that's Eric Carmen. Leah had emailed and said, are you going to play any Eric Carmen at all? Because he just died recently. I said, absolutely, we will. And that's 1978 on Arista, Change of Heart. Yeah. And we'll play a Raspberries record, too, because I promised I would. And I'll pick something that is not familiar. And actually, I think I'll probably pick Overnight Sensation, not because I like the song, but I do like the lyrics. And I think that it kind of really summed Eric Carmen, who, of course, wrote it as well. So 888-876-5593. And we're talking to James on the South Side about his 9,837 stories. So other faves did you have?
That was the one, almost, I'd say, was the one about where this driver knows that their vehicle had been stolen, and it was an 11-year-old who had basically stole it.
Yeah, right, exactly. And, you know, we're hearing more about, sadly, stealing a car is not too bad, murder and things like that on behalf of 10 and 11-year-olds, and it's really shocking, and it begs a lot of questions about who should be treated as a juvenile.
Yeah, and also it kind of also makes you like ask the question, what happened to the innocents?
Yeah, well, yeah, that went away long before that, unfortunately. Now, you also had a story. I love this. The bank is asking the customers to return the money. Oh, yeah, that's going to work out well. And we're talking an Ethiopian bank that somehow didn't notice that customers could withdraw an unlimited amount of cash from the ATM for a few hours last weekend. And apparently, in just a couple hours, they got $40 million. And
I'm like thinking, lottery.
Well, right. And what's interesting is this was not a cyber attack. This was actually a maintenance inspection gone wrong. And so it is over $40 million. They're pleading with people, return the money. Yeah. How much do you think they'll get back? More like 40 cents. And apparently.
Yeah, you might see a few honest ones who will say, yes.
Well,
but most.
Right. They're not. They're absolutely. Because. You know, when you hear about this and it happens within a span of a few hours, you almost can guess that there's a college campus nearby and it spreads like wildfire. And that's exactly what happened here. So now all of the authorities are saying that university students who return the money will not be prosecuted. Yeah, well, that's one way to get it. But of course, try to find all of those. It'll be interesting to see. I read where a campus official was interviewed a couple days later who said, I haven't heard about anybody giving the money back. I guess.
Yeah, okay, let's see. What college students would use this for?
Yeah.
Let's see now. Okay, books, I figure anywhere it's like expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they're going to go the Homer Simpson route on that one.
Yeah, they're not giving it back, unless, of course, the bank can absolutely trace it. But it sounds to me like with this maintenance error that they can't. So we'll see. Then we have dead in Montana, undercooked mushrooms. That is frightening. 50 people get sick, 2 people die. And undercooked morel mushrooms. And morel mushrooms are generally considered edible, but as far as I'm concerned, if you don't cook them enough and you can die, that's not edible to me.
Yeah, and it was so funny. And I was reminded of it because I think, I forget which WGN was talking about mushroom hunting. And I said, well, okay. Now, it might be a joke, but... But if you don't cook them, it'll be the last thing that you'll really enjoy.
And here, it will be. Of course, there's a clue to how they were undercooked when you read the name of the restaurant that served them. It was Dave's Sushi. Well, as far as I know, sushi is meant to be not cooked. So you'd think that Dave, whomever he is, would have checked his mushrooms first. And of course, this is in Bozeman. So like, unlike the rest of Montana, Bozeman is like the trend capital of Montana. It somehow fits. But yes, Dave's Sushi serving uncooked mushrooms. Well, of course they were. It's sushi.
Yeah. And so, it's like, I know you wouldn't catch me at a sushi restaurant.
Yeah, well, no, I'm with you. Who wants to eat an aquarium? But nonetheless, I just can't imagine if you are a proprietor of a restaurant that doesn't plan to cook anything, I don't see why you would ever bring in a mushroom that could hurt somebody if it was undercooked.
Yeah, but apparently some basically are going, it's kind of like that person, that restaurant that says, oh, I'm going to try to have you have the puffer fish.
Right, there you go.
Yeah.
That's quick. Now, the mushroom were a new addition to the menu, and it was unique to a special sushi roll, yeah, the killer, and apparently that's how they narrowed it down, and it was served in a few different ways on multiple occasions. At one point, they partially cooked them. No, absolutely not. If this is a mushroom that can kill you, if they're undercooked, this should not be anywhere near a sushi restaurant.
Yeah, just simply send that to a steakhouse. They'll do, at least they'll braise it, at least, right. Like, and it's well smoked.
And the owner of Dave Sushi said that he carried out his own investigation to try and find the safest way to cook the mushrooms. How about just not serving them?
That would have covered everything.
And then he said he was surprised, and other chefs were also surprised, to find that there were toxins in them. Oh, man, I might never eat out again. So, yeah.
Obviously, let's just say, let's simply send Chef Ramsey up there and basically just say, are you sure you're a chef or a butcher?
Well, right. Right. Now, in terms of there's hope for all of us, in a medical, and it's not a human, a French bulldog spontaneously regrew his lower jaw. I love this.
Yeah.
And
I love it too. Yeah, that was beautiful.
Yeah, and if we can figure out how, that may change a lot of lives. So apparently Cornell University veterans describe how the pup spontaneously regrew most of his lower left jaw after it was removed to treat his cancer. So it wasn't like, you know, dog fighting or anything like that. It was medically removed, and he regrew the jaw and is cancer-free.
Now that is what we would call... Oh, okay. That's definitely something that's worth saying. Yeah. Oh, that if we do figure that out, that'll be one big step forward.
Well, it really will. It's a game changer all the way around. And his owners were quoted as saying, "We had no idea his jaw would grow back." Well, apparently, neither did anyone else. And I think that that this French bulldog needs to be studied.
Oh, yeah, and I suspect, okay, when they go back to the position, they're going to find that they did something, or maybe he had some sort of, in the process of them treating his cancer, they unlocked a gene that basically said, okay, thank you, and now for the repair.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now, then we have a recall from Sargento. And what's frightening to me about these recalls is when they do it, they announce like there was a recall for Rizzo Lopez. Well, Rizzo Lopez are the ingredients. In this case, Sargento is the brand. And apparently Rizzo Lopez is ingredients in a lot of different branded things. And so in this case, Listeria is the concern. And Sargento is the manufacturer of this. And so a recall of Rizzo Lopez is in California, so maybe it's just Western states. But I know California, Florida, Washington, Texas, Ohio. Well, Ohio, that's not too Western. So
That's right.
Yeah, and so it's interesting. Sargento says they've terminated their relationship with Rizzo Lopez, I guess. But this is interesting to me because we buy something and we think that we know what we're buying. But so often, God only knows what's in these things. And I love where they say, you know, the truth in labeling and stuff. But if they put a little barcode or whatever, a QR code, they don't have to tell you. You've got to go find out for yourself. And so it seems to me that the days of saying, well, it's made by thus and such, so it's fine. Well, who knows where the ingredients came from?
Yeah, and apparently, Sargento is basically trying to say, no, this isn't all regular stuff.
Right,
this
right.
Is like stuff that went, that was like through institutional stuff, meaning that, like, you know, at schools or maybe restaurants or prisons, who knows?
Yeah, well, and that makes it better. I mean, I'd like to know, they say they've terminated their relationship. I'd like to know how many products used this particular manufacturer of various ingredients who are nowhere on the label. You can look at all the labels you want. You won't see the names. So it's,
that's right.
It's frightening all the way around. Now, what else do we have? A Subway giving away free meals for 3 weeks over Easter. It's pretty good.
I think that, Subway has spent a lot of time trying to do damage control after the Jared Fogle thing.
Well, there is that. But to me, I'll tell you, it used to be Subway used to really go for price, talking about their $5 footlongs and all that. John and I went into a Subway a little while ago. We had two sandwiches and two drinks, and it was $32. And I almost couldn't eat it.
Let me tell you, I got a group of coupons there. Oh, this was another thing. They wouldn't take their own, a lot of the restaurants wouldn't take their own company's coupons.
Well, that's a problem, especially with something that's franchised. And that goes, you know, deeper than this conversation will be able to justify. But yes, there's a lot of things, and it not only puts the customers in a bad mood, but in many cases, it puts the franchise owners in a worse mood. So there's all sorts of things. But apparently, the kids eat free promotion, where anybody who buys a foot long, the kid gets a 4-inch snack. It's not happening here. It's apparently at UK Subways.
Yeah, of course. Let's see now. I got here one of the best coupons here is a 6-inch one for
$3.99. Yeah. Then, by the way, we have mounting research shows that COVID-19 leaves its mark, lowering IQ scores. And I thought, finally, I've got something to blame. And so apparently, brain fog and an array of problems. And now there are those who are saying that it leads to a diminished IQ. Well, I guess this explains me in the kitchen. So, yeah, it's interesting studies.
Yeah. And you start thinking, well, okay, what took so long? But then you realize it takes, okay, for something like this, that's why it was called novel corona.
Well, really? Well, then while we're on the subject of fast food, I'm not sure what's on Burger King's menu, but in New York City, they're hit with a $15 million lawsuit accused of allowing, quote, open-air drug bazaar run by professional dealers. So I guess this Burger King a couple blocks from City Hall is going to have to answer some questions. Those who are the detractors say they're so overrun with drug dealers, junkies, and unhinged vagrants that one of the angry neighbors is suing.
Yeah, it gives new meaning to the word, have it your way.
Oh, God, yes. Well, I can't imagine, I'm sure it's a problem, but exactly what is this angry neighbor suing for? You know, I want to hear exactly, and I'll look at this later to see if I can get a copy of the lawsuit, because it's, under what, what legal determination do you think that you can get $15 million for this?
I don't know. I mean, I know New York's expensive, but
yeah.
I don't think you could justify that kind of price.
Well, apparently Kevin Kaufman lives on the block. He's a 69-year-old married filmmaker who raised his two kids right in the neighborhood. And he says, well, the cops are doing everything they can to get rid of these people, but they're handcuffed. It's idiotic bail reform. They've arrested a couple of people, but they're back within 24 hours. All right. Well, that sounds terrible, but exactly what are you expecting the fast food location to do about it?
Okay. Feed them poison, morale.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think we've devolved to that. It's probably time to go. So.
Oh. There's one other really interesting one. I think you. Okay. It had to do with some prankster convinced. I think it was GM of GM chat AI thing to to basically sell them a $76,000 truck for $1.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah, which they should say, hey, maybe the human race hasn't completely been, here's somebody whose brain actually is still smarter than the average bear, as they might say.
Well, that's going to be fascinating. Yes, this came out around Christmas time, actually, where a guy tricked a chat box to sell him a Chevy Tahoe for $1. And I think the Tahoe was list price was like $76,000. And I got to look at that to see, because I remember seeing that when it came out in December, but he was talking about it. But I wonder what the upshot of that is. Did Chevy have to sell it? I don't know.
I couldn't get to really come up the full story. I'm like thinking,
there was
no other continuous story. Like usually, there's like a couple other stories that come about that. I think that Chevy was so embarrassed at GM that they said, "Oh no, we're not talking about this because they like."
Yeah, I got to look at this because I think that the chatbot was from a dealer, not from Chevy brand or GM manufacturer. So the chatbot supposedly was authorized, but I got to look at this and find out, did they have to sell the car? It'll be fun. I'll let you know.
Okay.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it. All right.
So, okay.
Yeah, have I got a bargain for you? Yeah, and we thank James for his 4,832 stories. And we'd love your call, too. Tomorrow night is a very abbreviated show, about a half hour after the game. But for now, the next 5 minutes are yours if you run to the phone, 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Bobby James, and that is the Raspberries Overnight Sensation. Eric Carmen wrote it. Yeah, trying to write the lyric, non-offensive but satiric. If you don't put it in the A slot, it's going to make a mint for you. All right, well, in any event, where he talks about the bullet, I kind of laugh when I hear that because, of course, talk about something that could be easily misinterpreted. It was actually Cashbox magazine, not Billboard, that started that years ago when a record was on the rise. They'd say it had a bullet, like 18 with a bullet. Yeah, which Pete Wingfield, of course, did years later. So that's what it was. The program director, don't pull it. It's time to get back to bullet. All right, well, so rest in peace, Eric Carmen. So now Leah has heard her raspberries, and she has heard Eric Carmen. I fulfilled my pledge. All right, 888-876-5593. I got a minute left, and that's to wish Karen good luck tomorrow at surgery day.
Thank you. Yeah, it's really the stupid part of the whole thing is that the surgery is at 2:00 in the afternoon, and I had to stop eating solid food at 12 midnight.
That's all right. You'll be all right. You can have water, and the more you do that, the best, because the last thing you want to do is have a problem with general anesthesia. But call me if you can. Call me next week and let me know how it went.
I definitely will. It's just a matter of skin cancer on one side of my nose, and the thing went far enough that they're going to have to graft some skin from my forehead to coverage.
No, that happens, but yeah, I'm sorry.
I had it once. Right. They did it and took care of it. I had second time. I went to a clinic where they just weren't as cautious as they might have been.
Which is a real shame. But tell me more about it next week. We just ran out of time. I appreciate it. And my thoughts will be with you.
But thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
And next week I'll call for the Manhattan.
Okay, you betcha. Now, before I go, one thing. The car dealership didn't make good on the Dollar Chevy Tahoe deal. Oh, I'll tell you next week how they got out of it. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air. Maybe I'll tell you tomorrow night. We'll have a half-hour show. So about midnight 30, we'll reconvene. And hopefully Karen will be in fine shape by then. And if not, I'll look forward to hearing from you as well. So we thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. I thank those of you who called, especially that. Makes my job a pleasure to do. So until then, that's a wrap. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.